I was hoping that was going to be a lot louder than that. You don't mind, let's stand. That was supposed to rattle you out of your seats, is what it was supposed to. Those were alarm bells, in case you didn't notice. Let's read from Genesis 28, verses 10 through 16. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And I want to talk this morning of awakened from sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord God stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Jacob. And the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. These are some amazing promises that God is giving. And behold, I am with thee. Everyone say, I'm with thee. I'll keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee. God promises not to leave us until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Praise God. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. You can be seated. Amen. Jacob was asleep, and the presence of God was at work. Now, we're familiar with the idea of dreams and visions, and of course, defining those sometimes is a little iffy. What's a dream and what's a vision? And, well, he's asleep, so we'll call this a dream. But the fact is, God made some promises here that went beyond that time and that place, but he also made some statements that sometimes we tend to overlook. God is telling Jacob, I am with you. Now remember, Jacob's situation is that he's running from home. He's running from his brother. He's leaving his family behind. He's alone in the wilderness. And God says, I am with you. While Jacob is sleeping, God is awake. God's always awake. He never sleeps or slumbers, the scripture tells us. And I believe that he's always talking to his children. I said, I believe he's always talking to his children. We just don't always hear it. Sometimes we need to be in an altered state of consciousness before we'll hear God's voice, which can mean any number of things, one of which may be sleep, one of which may be in total fear or total disarray, whatever. Sometimes we don't hear God until we really, really, really need to hear God. But I believe he's always talking to his children. God said, I'm with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land, for I will not leave thee. Amen. Jacob dreamed a dream, and it was from God. But God had a plan for Jacob a long time before this moment in the wilderness. The scripture tells us that God had a plan for Jacob the moment he was conceived. That God gave a word of prophecy to his mother about Jacob, and how the elder would serve the younger, and how God was going to do great things in Jacob's life. He had a plan all along. And I think that if Jacob had been listening, and the Bible doesn't say this, but I tend to believe that we know this, that Jacob went about things the wrong way. He pursued the blessings of God the wrong way. He used deceit. He used trickery to get what he thought was coming to him. I believe also, and it doesn't specifically say this in the scripture, but I think it's clear that Jacob understood that there was something in the cards for him, that something was promised him. Because he was his mother's favorite, and that word of prophecy came to his mother. So I'm sure she shared with him that God has something special for you. Maybe that was part of the problem too, that he felt he was so special. These are real people we're talking about, and these are real situations. And Jacob, I think, could have heard from God before this time. And he might have had more faith, more confidence in what God was going to do, so as not to have to trick his brother to get what he wanted. God had a plan from the moment his existence began, but part of the reason Jacob was where he was because he went about obtaining God's promises the wrong way. He was awake all that time. But maybe he was asleep spiritually. And it wasn't until he was physically asleep and in great need that God was finally able to get through to him. I don't want to be that guy that I have to have a earth-shattering experience, a life-changing moment in order for me to hear from God. Why do we wait until these kind of situations arise before we're willing to listen to God? There are five stages of sleep in the sleep cycle. They characterize these stages based on the way the brain and the body react during sleep. There's two basic categories, the non-REM sleep. REM means rapid eye movement. And the last stage is REM sleep, which if anybody has had a sleep study done, you know all about this. Anybody who has a CPAP has probably heard this more than once. And rapid eye movement is when we're dreaming. Brainwave frequencies are tracked, and they can see the changes as we go from one stage of sleep to another. The first stage of sleep is the lightest stage. The brain frequency is slower, and breathing is regular. But then stage two, our breathing starts to slip into a different pattern, and we get into a little deeper sleep. And stage two, it's harder for us to wake up. Notice this is a progression. And then stage three and four are called deep sleep. It gets progressively deeper. And, of course, everybody varies, you know, just how this process takes place. But a sleeper, a person who's at this stage, at this phase of sleep in 3 and 4, they're the hardest to wake up. Some studies have demonstrated that very loud noises, even sometimes over 100 decibels, even a Pentecostal church service, won't wake people up at this stage. My wife tried to wake me up once during one of these phases, and she says I growled at her like a dog. I guess we both learned a lesson. The deep sleep is the deepest stage of non-REM sleeping. If a person is awakened during this time, they feel quite groggy. Their cognitive abilities are hindered. Its mental performance is moderately impaired. This is called a sleep inertia. And if you're familiar with physics, inertia says that objects in motion have acted upon by an outside force in order for them to stop being in motion, and objects that are not in motion also need an outside force to get them moving, which describes many of us at the early hours of the morning. Stage 5 is REM sleep, and that's where we dream. The stage of sleep associated with dreaming, it's very different physiologically than the other stages of sleep. This is where we have the most vivid dreams, where these are the dreams that we remember, and we go through a couple of cycles from 1 to 5, and then we kind of level off and we stay at the top end. And after about 3 hours, then is when we have the most productive and the longest periods of REM sleep. So if you're only sleeping 3 or 4 hours a night, you're missing out. You're missing the show. Amen. So we can draw some parallels between the natural process of sleeping and the spiritual reality of a Christian life. I'm not saying that we necessarily as Christians go through these same cycles, but I'm afraid to say that there is a progression sometimes for those of us who tend to slip into spiritual sleepiness. It doesn't always happen all at once. And you can probably track it to certain situations and certain moments in life. But just as there are stages of sleep in our physical experience, sleep is used as a metaphor in the Bible many times to describe spiritual states or situations. And sometimes actual sleep sets the stage for God to work in a person's life. Genesis 2:21, the Bible says that the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And then God did one of the greatest works of all creation. He created Eve. In Genesis 15, God revealed the plan to Abraham for his generations in a vision or a dream. It appears to me that Abraham woke up. But Genesis 15:12 says, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, in horror of great darkness fell upon him. And then God visited Abram and gave him promises that stretched down to our generation. They covered all of time, basically. So God used sleep in this case to communicate. Daniel had visions and angelic visitations associated with sleep. But not all sleep is good in the Bible. Sometimes sleep puts us in compromising situations. Samson had a little trouble with this. He had the wrong kind of sleep in the wrong place at the wrong time. Judges 16:14 says that she, Delilah, fastened the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. what's happening? He's spending time with a woman he shouldn't be with, and he's fallen asleep there, and she's tricking him, trying to destroy him, and he's not even aware of it because he's so taken in by this woman. And as a result, his sleep puts him at risk. And it happens again and again. In verse 19, she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, because now she knows the secret. Because he was enamored of her, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. That's the problem with falling asleep spiritually. It happens so incrementally, so a little bit at a time, that we don't even realize that we're slipping away. Entanglement with sin, with the world, lulls us to sleep. We may be gifted. We may be anointed even. We may be called. But sleep can come upon us at the worst times if we allow it. If we play with sin, it can lull us to sleep. We make allowances. Before we know it, we're disconnected. In Corinthians, Paul talks about sleep as death. And sometimes Jesus referred to it in these terms. But 1 Corinthians 11:30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." What he means is they passed away. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." And there's the promise. This sleep of death does not have the same hold on those who are alive in Christ. But in Thessalonians, he uses it to speak of both death and spiritual dullness. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Praise God. Better to sleep in Jesus than to be asleep in the spiritual night. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." And here he's talking about spiritual sleep. Don't be in the dark. "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." And that light and dark dichotomy appear again and again in relationship to spiritual awakening or spiritual sleep. But notice these lines are written to Christians. Maybe spiritually, not maybe, but spiritually you or I can rest in Jesus. But we have to be careful that we haven't fooled ourselves into spiritual sleep. We want to make sure that our spiritual dreams are, that our REM experience is coming from God and not from somewhere else. The danger is if we allow ourselves to fall to sleep so heavily, we become insensitive. Even as in the natural, a loud noise is not enough to wake us up. Some of us labor under the impression that when things get bad enough, we will recognize it, and then we'll be able to change on a dime and get back to where we need to be. I've seen too many people go past that point and not realize it. Don't fool yourself. We get to the point where we're so insensitive, so out of tune. We're so much asleep, so deeply asleep, that we're not receiving anything from God at all. It troubles me when I talk to a Christian who's been walking with God for a very long time, and they say, "You know, I don't know if I've ever heard God's voice. I don't know how to relate to that. It not because of who I am, but because of who He is. You think that God would call you into His family, call you into His household, call you His child and never talk to you? Of course He's speaking to us. Of course He's dealing with us. Of course He's reaching out to us every day. In some places, when Paul speaks of being asleep or awake, he ties it to the times and the seasons of the world around us. And this is really the point that I'm trying to make this morning, is that we can become so wrapped up, we can become so consumed in other things that spiritually we're falling asleep and we're not even realizing. We can be so... I know Pastor is eliminated social media from his life. I made the mistake of getting on Twitter a little while ago. And it's so true that you read one tweet and 45 minutes later you realize you're still looking at that little window. And talk about being mentally and spiritually numb. That's one way to do it. There are so many things to attract our attention. And here's the thing. Just because there's activity doesn't mean you're not asleep. There's a thing called somnambulism. What we call sleepwalking. And it's a real thing. And it takes place at one of those levels of sleep, not the REM level, but a non-REM level, where the person is literally asleep and they're moving around. Because in REM sleep, when you're at that point where you're dreaming and your mind is active, your body actually gets disabled. There's a kind of a paralysis that comes upon your muscles, so that, and most people believe that it's because, otherwise if we tried acting out our dreams, we'd be killing each other. I'm going to tell on Pastor Jessica. She's not in here, but she had a situation with her elbow, and she had a brace that she had on. She had to sleep with her arm up. And she was worried about rolling over and knocking her husband out. But that's kind of the mechanism that's disabled when we're in REM sleep, when our mind is engaged and we're imagining these things. And there's a lot of theories as to why that happens. One theory is that it's a natural restorative process, and that's the way our brain sorts out the day's activities, and our body restores itself, and that's been proven. But there's also a circadian theory, which says that it's just a natural cycle, and it developed because way back when in caveman times, they slept at night because that was the safest thing to do. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that I feel restored when I get a full night's sleep. But there's that non-REM sleep where people actually get up and move around. Where it sometimes they have to be locked in their room so that they don't hurt themselves or someone else. So activity does not necessarily mean that you're being spiritual, if I can say that. Just because you're walking around doesn't mean you're not asleep. Just because you're active doesn't mean that you're not spiritually asleep. All activity is not really what God is asking for. God is giving us specific direction with purpose in our lives. That's why it's so important to build a firm foundation. to have a healthy spiritual life, to have a prayer time, to read your Bible. One of the first questions I ask if someone says, I have never heard God's voice, well, how often do you read your Bible? How often do you pray? Do you take time when you're praying to listen to God's voice? It isn't necessarily going to be, you know, a
real deep bass voice.
Or a real loud one. The prophet heard a still small voice. After all kinds of things were going on out there on the mountainside. And sometimes it's just the way the words come off the page. So it doesn't have to be something that someone else experienced and yours is just like theirs. We have to learn how God speaks to us. How does he speak to me? I think Jacob was a carnal man. And that's why he was in the situation he was in, because he wasn't listening to God all along. He was self-centered. He was selfish. In some places, Paul speaks of being asleep or awake. He ties it to times and seasons of the world around us. I've already stated this in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. He said, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Now Paul said this 2,000 years ago. But that makes it even truer today. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness." So this is how we react. This is how we know that we are hearing from God. This is how we apply the direction God gives us. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." So Paul here is talking in terms of end time, basically. That isn't all he's talking about, but he's saying that, don't you know that time has progressed and that we're closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? And even if we're not talking about the rapture, each of us is one day closer to the last day of our life. I mean, that just makes sense. And Paul says, since we are aware of this passing of time, don't let yourself be lulled into spiritual sleep, and suddenly it comes upon you. He admonishes the readers to recognize that there's a change in time and season. And we've said this many times over the years. I talked about how the end times are going to be identifiable. Now, we have never gone to the point where some have gone and said, you know, that the world's going to end on this day, or Jesus is coming back at this time, because the scripture tells us not to do that. It informs us that there's no way we're going to know, but the scripture does say, Jesus said, we can be aware of the times and the seasons. And the things that we're reading about in the newspaper today, the changes that are taking place technologically, and socially and politically. I remember in the 1980s and the 1990s when the prophecy preachers were saying, this is what's going to happen someday. And the people that I was talking to said, you're crazy. You're paranoid. That'll never happen. Guess what? I don't want to be asleep. The Bible sometimes speaks of salvation as something in the past. You know, I was saved. We experience a salvation. But here it's clearly talking about that moment, that instant when we finally reach eternity. By whatever means, through death or by rapture, but it's talking about the fulfillment of our relationship with Christ on this earth. And Paul makes it clear that there is a way to avoid being caught unawares, to stay awake, and that is to avoid these behaviors, avoid these actions, avoid these elements of lifestyle. We should put on the armor of light, the armor of righteousness. We should cast off the works of darkness. And it's so easy in our day and age to live in the gray area. Because there are so many avenues for us to experience the things of the world that we can accept things just on the other side of the line, or live right there near the line of good and evil and right and wrong, and kind of straddle the fence, and nobody knows it because we're still doing better than everyone else around us, living in the gray area. It's so easy to do, but that's where we begin to fall asleep. The third thing is that we should walk properly. And then Paul uses the image of day and night. Walk in the light. Walk in the daytime. We should walk properly as in the day, avoiding sinful activities. And then he goes down a list. Now, the ones at the top of the list, you know, we're all good for that. We're real good. Revelry, no. Carousing, wild parties, orgies, no, none of that. Drunkenness, intoxication, drinking bouts, nope, none of that. I'm good. Licentiousness, that's talking about sexual immorality. Nope. You know, we can go down the list and we can say, oh, I don't do that. Lewdness. Absence of restraint, indecency. Now we're getting into some judgment areas. What's decent, what's not? What's holy, what's not? And then here's one that maybe we're not so strife. Quarreling. Dissension, contention, discord. Envy, resentment of another, little things we let in our spirit, little things we let in our mind, little things we hold in our hearts. Resentment of another's advantage together. Verse 14 says, instead of indulging in these activities, we should put on Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, like I said, these outward sins, if I can call them that, they're easy to recognize, and that we as apostolics are real good at eliminating those. At least I hope so. But there are some things we allow because they're not so obvious. Quarreling, dissension, resentment, envy, bitterness, jealousy. Paul mentions these specifically on purpose because that's where we get lulled to sleep. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul speaks again of being aware of the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Does anybody believe that we're in the last days? For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. This image of a woman in labor is used frequently in the scripture, and the way it's used here is talking about the suddenness of the onset. Like all of a sudden, Sister Brittany says, yeah. I've said this many times, and you've probably heard me say it before. But you know why God allowed women to bear children. Because if it was up to men, we would be extinct. Thank you for laughing at that. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, same image, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are children of the light. You're awake. You're alert. You're paying attention. You're not sleeping. You're children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And I read this passage already. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, everyone say us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. This is how we avoid falling asleep, by putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Connection, Pastor Roy. For an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And there he's talking about whether we're alive or dead. He changes the metaphor. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. That's part of the reason that we come to church, is to keep each other awake. That's why it's necessary to hear preaching. Like the alarm bells that weren't as loud as I wanted them to be at the beginning of the message. And sometimes we need to be awakened. We let things into our lives and the preacher gets up and preaches and nails us, steps on our toes a little bit, and the pain message goes to our brain and we realize, hey, I'm in an area I shouldn't be in. Wake up. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Let's stand. I've had people say, you know, I never dream. Well, then you don't sleep, because if you sleep more than a couple hours a night, you're dreaming, you just don't remember it. At least that's what the science says. I knew as soon as that word came out of my mouth, I was going to get it. Wasn't ready for that. Psalm 17:15. You see, it's up to us. It's our choice. We make the decision. Some of the reading I did, several places said the same thing, that part of the problem with our society today is that people go to bed when they want to and they wake up when they have to. So as a result, they stay up later than they should and they wake up before they're ready. And there's a lot of sleep deprivation going on in our world. We make those choices. And we choose. The choices we make determine whether or not we're awake or asleep. Psalm 17:15 says, "For as for me," this is the psalmist speaking to God, "I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." Now that's an Old Testament picture, but that's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, that one day, we're going to put off this mortal body, and we're going to wake up with a spiritual body. That this human nature is going to go to sleep, and our eternal nature will be what wakes up. Praise God. I'm looking forward to that day. Hallelujah. If you have children, remember to pick them up. If you take a few minutes to greet someone, meet someone maybe perhaps you haven't talked to in a while, or maybe someone you've never talked to before. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. In Jesus' name.